This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
And we are back for another season of the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Searles, we didn't get fired. We're back for another season.
Hey, I mean, they must have liked what we did last year, so it's always good. Job security in this economy is always a good thing.
We love some Vals. We love our friends at Vals, so we appreciate them continuing to sponsor this podcast every single year. And speaking of that, our great friend Carlo on the text line wanted to send you Vals for your birthday recently, and you were in Colorado. So next time you're in, I think she's going to send us some dessert pizza.
She's such a sweetheart. I mean, she did that for us a couple of times. She's just the best. And yes, if I was not in Colorado, I would have gladly accepted Valentino's birthday pizza, especially that cherry dessert pizza. It's just chef's kiss.
I agree. I love their dessert pizza. Well, how have you been? What's been up with you and the Searles clan?
Yeah, you know, it was really good. We spent 10 days out in Colorado with my dad having his retirement trip. He retired in February, and so we did a big trip up in the mountains with him, and then my brother got married this weekend. So it was really fun just to kind of compound all that into one big trip. Very glad to be home. The kids needed some more stability and routine in their life. They did really well though. And then, yeah, just really managing with, we have 14 guys in NFL camp right now. So, watching preseason games, starting to come down to the wire here a week from this Tuesday will be cut day. Right. So the D-Day is looming in the future here. And so all hands on deck, high alert, high stress. But I mean, cut day also is a sad day, but it also means football season's one step closer. So we're just, it's that give and take of, man, we're so close to being there. And then obviously we have college football starting up as soon as this week. So I can't freaking wait. Football season's officially back.
It's been a minute since we've had you on. So for those that might be watching for the first time or forgot and are wondering what the heck is a Kansas City Chiefs banner hanging behind you for,
yes.
Can you remind us of that?
Yes, I will gladly remind you. So this lovely banner right here will hang behind me for the rest of the football season because I made a bet that the Buffalo Bills were going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game with my barber, Zach, at Straight Edge downtown. Shout out, Zach, Straight Edge. If you're looking for a haircut, go see him. But I have to now hang this atrociously awful thing behind me for the rest of football season until it's over. So until the next AFC Championship, you will have to see Swifty Searles in every podcast that I do.
I like that it wasn't just like, you know, a Kansas City banner. He had to throw on the title of Swifty Searles.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to just be like a Kansas City AFC Championships banner, and then he went rogue and went with the customization. So can't be mad about it, but I just hope that, you know, one of these years the Bills will avenge me.
I wish Greg was here to see that. He would be all no. about that.
Oh, he would be. He would want to see it and have me speak it every time we jumped on one of these. No doubt about that.
Your name might change from the Big Dog to the Swifty Searles for
Stop
everything.
Stop it. I can't. Got to stay with the Big Dog. That was Greg. That was Greg's nickname that will live on forever.
I know. And listen, we've had a lot of people making requests. I've been talking about you because you went to practice recently, which we're going to dive into. You were very, very pleased with what you saw out of the offensive line. But people have been wanting the Big Dog. So it's about time now. It's weekly appearances from the Big Dog.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're back. We're back. You know, obviously, I always have the elk hunting trip. So full, like, right, I'll miss 1 week here or there. But, you know, it's exciting to be back and talking about a super exciting Husker football team. You know,
not just the slice,
year.
Not just the pick
yes.
that you're a part of, too, but some news that we announced last week. You're actually going to be hopping on Big Red Reaction with Matt Coatney this year, too.
I am. So, callers, be nice. Don't be mean. I understand we'll all have some frustrations at one point in time, but my blood pressure, as you all know who listen to the show, sometimes gets a little... Right. So we're going to hang in there. But no, super excited. I think, you know, this is a year, good year to be on Big Red Reaction because I think there's a lot more wins in this Huskers future than losses. I think there's a lot more excitement to talk about. There's a lot of young players, a lot of transfer portal players. There's just a lot of excitement. And so I'm excited to be able to break down games in real time. Right. We always get and we'll get a chance to, you'll hear me on Big Red Reaction, kind of giving my initial gut, what I saw off the TV copy. Here's what I think I saw. And then you'll get a really good chance with the slice later in the week after I've calmed down, had less caffeine, watched
gone over
the
film, yeah.
Right, gone over the film, not overreact anymore, and be able to actually break down, hey, this is what I thought I saw, here's what I actually saw, or here's what I missed, right? And so that's what I think is going to be really fun flow for this year, is you'll get to hear me right afterwards on the network, and then you'll get to come here and hear the actual breakdown from gut reaction to got in the film room, studied up, and here's what actually happened.
Sometimes it requires some, you know, some therapy too. Are you ready for that?
Oh, yeah. You know, me, I'm a lovey feelings kind of guy. So, you know, I'm sure that anyone that has some therapy and some needs, just call on in to old Dr. Searles here and we'll figure it out.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you back on the airwaves here every week. Well, mostly every week. You're on a bunch of them coming up and you'll be on for the first game, the season opener, after following the Cincinnati win, right?
Yes, at midnight, but yes.
All right, well, game. I did want to get to it because, I mean, I've been referencing some of the things that you've said, but you were, I would say, the most pleased since I've known you with an offensive line going to a fall camp practice when you went out last a couple weeks ago and saw this group. It was the most pleased I feel like I've seen you with this O-line group.
100%. I mean, since Coach Rhule has taken over, this is by far the most complete offensive line I've seen him have as far as from a starters and a depth perspective. You know, looking at the front five and going, okay, I can see the vision with guys like Elijah Pritchett and Rocco Spindler and Justin and Teddy and Gunner and Henry. And you're just like, okay, there's some dudes that have been here for a while that are starting to come into their own. There were some pieces that we need that we brought in, and it looks like a Big Ten offensive line, right? We have size, we have athleticism. And the day that I was there, they handed it to the defensive line. And I mean, I'm sitting there like just shaking with excitement, because when you're watching an offensive line move guys off the ball, climb to the second level, no free runners in the pass game, like that for me gives me so much hope with the weapons and with Dylan Raiola as the trigger man. If you can protect him and you can have a good complementary run game to the passing scheme that we're going to want to have, I am super excited to see where this offensive line can go.
It was funny. I, per usual, we go to practice, and I was going to run to the restroom. I told him to go on in, and it was like a magnet. I know exactly where to find you if we get separated.
Yeah, go to the O-line corner, which is usually the farthest away from everybody else, right? Find the corner. I've always said this. Offensive linemen, we're like mushrooms, right? We don't grow well in sunlight. Right, put us in the dark and feed us crap and we're going to grow, right? And so you always kind of just put us in the corner, don't bother us, make us run over there, and we're going to thrive in our environment. But Coach Raiola has done a great job of continuing to develop guys in that room, bringing guys in from other programs and having them buy into the culture of what the offensive line at Nebraska means. And I'm really excited to see this group walk out there in the Kansas City Chiefs field and primetime Thursday night football and showcase what they've been working on since spring.
Look, I know, and it's got to be shown on game days, right? But it's, you and I have been talking about this for 4 or 5 years now, just the process of when you have to build the depth. It just takes time, and it is finally coming to fruition. You know, once Coach Rhule took over and said, we don't have enough bodies in that room. I mean, you and I sat there on a signing day, and we didn't sign an offensive lineman, and you were panicking. Like, I thought I was going to have to give you one of those, like, paper bags to blow into, because you thought that is not going to be good. And then what did it do? It did. It showed that it hurt this team for several years, just because those are the guys that would have been starting, you know, last year and this year. And so you're finally able to build that depth. I mean, I feel like, I know we're a broken record, but it is finally now coming to fruition when you have to rebuild that kind of depth.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's no secret your team goes as your offensive line goes. So if that room is struggling to have bodies, to have development, to have depth, the rest of the offense is going to suffer. And I can vividly remember sitting on that signing day. It was one of the first things I did with you guys on the network. I mean, this was probably 4 or 5 years
ago. It was throughout an entire season. We had the slice, and then it was at the, it was in
December.
Was
it the end of our first slice?
It was the
end of
our first slice year? It was in December after that first season. You were on the sideline. Mm-hmm. We had done the slice. And then at the end of that season, we did the signing day show because it was in December that year.
That was 21 then, right?
You, Greg, and me, we sat down and did that show in December of 2021. Yep.
Yeah, December 2021, right? And I remember like looking around as we're announcing the signings, and then he's like, Greg's like, well, and that's the Huskers class. And I was like, but hold on. We forgot some big bodies, didn't we? And he's like, nope. And you're exactly right. I mean, and Coach Rhule has taken the opposite effect, right? He's going, we will build from the inside out, O-line, D-line, and then we're going to move our way out. And it shows that they put a huge emphasis on it by going and picking up two huge portal transfers in Elijah and Rocco, right? And then keeping the young guys developing and seeing some of those young guys that I came out and watched in the spring and then seeing what they look like in fall camp. Shout out Corey Campbell. He's done some amazing work with some of those young guys and getting their bodies transformed in a short amount of time, which gives me a lot of hope for what those guys are going to look like in 2-3 years. Exactly like you said, development in the offensive line room is paramount because you can't live in the portal. Like, you don't want to live in the portal for offensive linemen. You want homegrown offensive linemen, guys that have been in your system for years. They understand the culture of the room. They understand the standard of the room, and then they can build within. If you don't have to go and get a portal offensive lineman every single year, you're doing something really right as a program.
This is also something that we've talked a little bit here and there, but you actually went through the same thing that Gunnar Gatula went through last year. Mm-hmm. Take us through some of the jumps that you expect to see, and he's currently still in a battle, but I think he's going to play one way or another, whether it's left tackle or right tackle. But just what starts to change when a guy gets thrown to the fire as a redshirt freshman, and then you're back for what's you're now year three, but your redshirt sophomore year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Our paths have actually been extremely similar as far as we both started as redshirt freshmen. We both had shoulder surgery as redshirt freshmen, missed our spring, and then went into our next year. But the big thing is when you have a year under your belt, you then can start really focusing in the off season of what gave me trouble during the year. Was it my technique? Was it my strength? Was it my run footwork? Was it my hands, right? Because you've now been tested and battle tested in real time against NFL caliber players, right? Granted, yes, you got to play against Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker on practice every day, right? But you're going against JTT at Ohio State, right? You're seeing first round edge rusher talent. And you're going, okay, this is what caused me issues. And I think Gunnar did a really good job of, hey, I know I can't practice in the spring, but he looks like he put on really good muscle mass. He looks like he stayed the same athlete that he is. And I'm really excited to see him get a chance to get back out there and watch that jump from year one to year two as a player and see it. Because this is where if you see him take a big jump here, then you just anticipate him to continue to take those big jumps. And you hopefully say, okay, that guy looks like an NFL caliber player. That's what you want on your offensive line, right? And when I look at our offensive line right now, Elijah Pritchett looks like an NFL caliber player. Rocco Spindler looks like an NFL caliber player, right? I think Justin, if he continues to play well, he'll give himself a chance at the NFL this year with the way that I saw him play in practice this week. And then Henry, I mean, I've been high on Henry Litovsky since the day he walked in the building.
Yeah, Greg even was doubting of you. People doubted you at the time, but you saw something in him from that very first practice. You saw Henry Litovsky out there.
Yeah, and I mean, now I'm seeing him finally. I mean, it took a little bit longer than we wanted it to, but hey, if he's finally coming to his own, let's go, right? Let's get it. And now you're talking about having four of your five starters potentially being NFL caliber players. Like, look what won Michigan the national title. Almost every single offensive lineman that was on that team is playing in the NFL right now, right? It's no secret. The best college teams have the most NFL talent. So if we can continue to get those guys and develop those guys and get them going there, and then you put a back like Emmett Johnson behind him and a quarterback like Dylan Raiola, that's going to be the secret to success this year.
Already getting you fired up. You're already here.
I know,
here.
Man. It's too easy. It's just too easy to get me fired up with football, especially when I have no outlets. Not like I can be like, I'm going to go watch a football game. It's like, no, you got to hurry up and wait.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 68 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers.
In terms of just the moving around, and I think we've had this conversation between right guard and left guard, and people think, oh, it's so easy, but talk to us about the difference between left tackle and right tackle. Of course, Elijah played left tackle last year, right tackle moved over to left tackle is what he's currently playing. And then Gunnar Gatula is a guy that played left tackle, but maybe as we heard Coach Rhule say, might move over to right tackle eventually. Just what is that like? And what is that process of like when you've been playing one and then you're switching over to the other?
Yeah, the biggest number one thing is, can you mentally handle it? right? That's the number one thing. Can you mentally handle flipping everything in your brain? From the hand that you strike with first, to the footwork that you step with first, to the play call that you're used to hearing being on the front side now means you're on the back side, right? It's so much of a mental gymnastics things first that if you can master the mental side, then you can focus on the physical side, right? Which is equally as hard. I tell people all the time, I probably said on this show too, anyone that says, well, it's not that hard, next time you go to the bathroom, try wiping with your offhand and tell me how easy it is, right? From a guy that had shoulder surgery and had to do it with his left hand, not super easy, right? And so when you start trying to put it in perspective of flipping everything in your brain, it's really hard. But the good news is Gunnar has been practicing both, I'm sure. Right. I mean, I'm sure he's been playing left. He's been playing right. So it's not one of those things where he played left all camp and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, bump over to the right side. That's just not good practice. And I'm sure that Coach Raiola understands, hey, we need guys that can be a swing tackle. We need guys that can battle for both spots. So I'm sure he's been practicing both. And in the long run, it's just going to make him even more valuable to the team. Right? If he is one of our best tackles, say he's starting it right, and the backup right tackle is better than the backup left tackle, and Elijah gets dinged this year, right? Knock on wood, I understand, right? Knock on wood, and Elijah gets dinged this year and has to miss a game or two. Well, then you can just go, hey, Gunner's still one of our best tackles. Let's move him over to left and put our best backup in it right, right? So it just gives you so much more options when you have depth at that position.
So the key is just making sure you're getting reps at both.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Just making sure you're getting reps. And maybe that's post-practice. Maybe that's pre-practice. You know, maybe it's just in the one-on-one setting. It's not necessarily in the team setting. But making sure you're just continuing to get those reps that you need so that when your number does get called and you get the opportunity to go out there, you can make the best of it and show and put that next foot forward of saying, I am a starter in this league. I am a starter in the Big Ten. And once you've accomplished that hurdle, now it's I'm a contributor. I'm an all-Big Ten player. I'm a pushing to try and be an All-American, right? You just want to keep raising the bar when you're at that position. And the first step is showing I'm a starter on this team.
That wiping saying analogy was one of Greg's favorites too. No, he always said gross when you said it.
Yeah, he'd always be like, God, come on, Cyril. It's like, hey, everyone can relate to that. Men, woman, and child. Every single person can relate to that statement.
All right, how about the center, Justin Evans? I mean, he's been playing guard, moves over to center. What are kind of going to be some of the keys for him, especially in the early going, settling into? I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know if there's been a guy that's gotten more compliments from the guys around him than Justin Evans, and that he just is, he's so well-liked and respected. And I think you've always said that that's probably more of his natural position, but when you're thrown to the fire in a game and you're the guy for the first time here in this first week, what does that look like for Justin? What are some of the things that he's going to have to really focus on?
Well, he's going to be battle tested week one right away. Dante Corleone, the nose guard for Cincinnati, is a very, very good football player. He is a 100%, probably a day two draft pick going into next year. He's been a high level player for a long time. He's big, he's athletic, he's strong. And so I'm super excited for Justin to go out there and honestly might play the best he plays all year in week one. And to go out there and really cut his teeth and measure his skill set and measure his ability up against a guy like that is going to hopefully give him a ton of confidence and vault him into the rest of the season, right? And even if he does get beat a few times, that's okay. That's going to happen. How does he bounce back from that? So I will have my eyes will be locked on him in that first game to really see how he battles against true NFL positions, NFL caliber position. But what I loved about him when I watched him in practice is he's a bulldog. Right. He is just in your face, running his feet. Right. He's physical. He's nasty. And that's what you want from the center position, because if you can have that going from the center position, it will trickle out amongst the rest of the positions. Right. And you then put him next to Henry and you put him next to Rocco and you say, hey, get us lined up and then let's go double team these guys. Let's run. Let's get out in space. I think Justin's setting himself up to have an excellent year.
Riley Van Poppel told me he's the toughest guy he's faced, and that includes anybody he's faced in a game time action.
That's awesome. You love to hear that, because guys don't say that lightly.
Yeah.
Right? That's not something that someone's just going to say to pump up the media and to pump up like the player. Like, that is a true, and if that's an accurate statement, then heck, he's making Van Poppel better. Van Poppel's making him better. Right? And that's what you want. Iron the iron. I mean, the adage that gets used over and over again, iron sharpens iron, but it's so true, especially in the trenches. If your practices can be harder than the games, you're going to have a lot of success. Right. And I can remember in 2016, 2017, when I was on the Vikings and we were playing against the number one defense in the league every single day in camp. Right. By the time we got to season, we're like, oh, this is way better on Sundays than it is on Wednesday and Thursdays. Like, this is sweet, right? And so if that's where you can find yourself as a program, that's when you're going to go out there on Sundays and not just start, hey, we're playing with these dudes. We're going to start dominating these dudes, and we're going to own the line of scrimmage, and we're going to run the football and then pass it when we want to, and we're going to be able to dictate the tempo, not the other way around.
So Riley ended up, it was a fan question. A kid asked him that. And so then I asked him later on to dive into that. Maybe you can expand on this. So he said, because Justin is a little bit of a shorter guy and he's so strong that you have to get underneath his pads. And that's something that they have been telling him for a couple years now, that, you know, in order to continue to grow his game, he's got to get lower and underneath his pads. And so I think that was kind of interesting for me when he expanded on it. He's strong. He's so strong. And he's just like an anchor, like you said, like a bulldog. But then he's also shorter. And so that's helped Riley understand how he needs to be one-on-one against maybe a shorter offensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, everyone has to use the strengths in which we are given physically, right? Not everyone can be 6'6", just like not everyone can be 6'1", right? And so the key is understanding how to use the tools that you have and then how to make up for the differences in the detriments that you may have, right? I had the exact opposite issue of Justin. When I moved inside to guard, I'm 6'7", and I'm going, okay, these guys that are shorter than me, like, I got to work on using my length to get them away from me, because if I let them get into me, they're under me, right? It's the exact opposite for Justin. He doesn't have the length of, hey, I got to make sure I can keep these dudes way far away from me because I don't have 34-inch arms, but what I do have is leverage. And so using that to his strength is a great thing, especially at center, because you're so close to the defender, right? At guard, at tackle, you've got like a good yard, yard and a half of space away from the defender versus at center. I mean, at times you feel like the helmets are like touching. You're just like, even when it's cold out, the breathing, you see that like the mist is going against each other. And so he's found a great way of moving into center and using that limited space that he has to his advantage. And so that's what he's going to have to do, because he's never going to win the fight of getting guys away and the push, pull, and the hand fighting, but he can take that advantage away from people by getting into their space and keeping his pad level down versus, you know, hey, trying to play the finesse, get away from people game. That's not going to be his game.
How about Riley Van Poppel getting a single digit, number 4?
Yeah. And you know, he's a guy that we loved on a lot last year. You know, a guy that we thought was, hey, he's playing behind Ty Robinson. He's playing behind Nash Huttmaker. He's getting to watch and learn from NFL caliber guys, and now we need him to step in and fill that role, right? Ty Robinson is a huge missing piece of this defense. I mean, he's already making splash plays for the Eagles. We watched him do it time and time again for the Big Red last year. Someone has to step into that role, and I fully anticipate that person being Riley Van Poppel, right? And I'd love to see the way that he has taken steps in his game, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. Right? Hey, can you continue to put that pressure up the middle and let our edge rushers come off the edge, the Cam Lenharts, the Williams Winaris, right? Can you let those dudes come and do what they off the edge and collapse the middle of that pocket? That's what I'm really excited for, to watch Riley Van Poppel do this year.
Just overall, you know, you just kind of talked about this at the NFL level, but for these defensive linemen and what they're having to face every day throughout fall camp, you saw it. You wouldn't just blow smoke. You don't do that. That is not you. You do not, you know, throw praise around that lightly. But it's got to be bode well for this defensive line that they've had to battle this offensive line every single day throughout fall camp.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if you're going against an offensive line that's getting the best of you at times, as a competitor, it's not like you're just going to roll over and be like, oh, they're just really good. Like, they're just really good and we're just not that good. Like, that's the exact opposite. As a competitor, and as all these guys on the D-line are, just like the O-line, you want to win every rep. You want to win the day, right? And so if you get punched in the face a few times, you better come out swinging, right? And I think that's a big piece of growing and maturing as a player, is understanding, hey, offense beat up on us today. We better not let it happen double-digit days. Right? We better get back to it. There's no way they're getting us again tomorrow. And that's where you start getting the give and take of camp, and that's where you start going there. So, again, if the defensive line is getting better and better against this offensive line, they're just going to continue to have more and more success on Saturdays when they're playing against an offensive line that maybe doesn't have 4 or 3 NFL hopefuls on it, right? And then when they do play the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Penn States that will have that type of offensive line, it's just like a Wednesday practice, right? That's what you have to get to. You can't have practice be so different than the games, and that's where we've been for so many years now. It's just because of the lack of not talent, but maybe a little bit of talent, lack of development, right? There's just been that piece. But going into year three of a Matt Rhule era here, he has built the culture. He has built the development to where he has NFL hopefuls on both sides of the football. Now's when the practice tempo ratchets up, the intensity ratchets up so that it's mirroring game day. It's not having to gear yourself up for game day because you're lacking a little bit of that talent in practice.
What's this week like as a player? You've finished fall camp. It's not quite game week, but you still have this important week left. And especially with the weird schedule of playing on a Thursday night, like, how much are you ready to be done? And how much, I guess, mental focus does it take to continue to get what you need to get out of every single day?
Yeah, you know, so there's probably, my guess is there's probably two more days of what I would call good on good, right? Which is still kind of camp tempo, right? Excuse me. You're still trying to get that intensity level high before you head into true game prep week, right? Because you don't want to start game prep week too early, right? If you start game prep week today, right, and you just focus solely on Cincinnati all the way up until Thursday of next week, that's just too many days where you're not going the good on good and keeping that high level of intensity that I just talked about. So usually what happens in this point in time is you'll have about three quarters of the practice will be good on good, and then you'll have one quarter focused on solely Cincinnati game prep. And then as we get closer to game week, that whole ratio will start to flip, right? And as we get closer to, okay, this is now starting Thursday is true game week, right? And it's going to be funky because it's not a Saturday, but it'll be true game week. And that'll start to flip more, hey, we're going to be more three quarters game prep, but still keep that one quarter of good on good so that you guys are ready come Thursday night when we roll the ball out there and the lights are on. It's not a shock to the system how fast the speed is. Because when you go against scout team and you're running scouty reps, you're going against younger players, the speed and the tempo is just not there. It's not the same as when you're going ones versus ones. And so you want to, as a coach, keep that feel for your starters of what it's like to go ones versus ones while also knowing we have to game plan and prep for Cincinnati. We can't just keep beating the crap out of each other.
Well, we didn't get into everything because, I mean, we had to talk O-line because,
always,
that, you know, that's what we do here. But also, you're no better expert than you talking about that group. And so, you know, it's been a big topic, which you love to hear. It's what I think is like one of the biggest storylines this whole throughout fall camp is, and a good storyline is just how good the offensive line has been and has looked and leading the way, I guess, for this offense. And it just has not been the case always since I've been here, certainly.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You want leadership on the front, right? If you have leadership on the fronts of both defense and offense, you're going to have a good football team. It's not a secret. It's been telltale for every national champion that's come through in the last 10 years, they've had a dominant offensive line.
All right, so we will maybe try to get one more in before we kick this thing off, and we can maybe do more preview of Cincinnati and talk about your favorites, the wide receivers and the defensive backs.
Yeah,
since we didn't talk about them at all today.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Just catch the football.
Oh, and then, yeah, you're for people that were requesting, making lots of requests for the big dog, they're about to get plenty of the big dog because we've got a pick segment this week as well. So it's here.
It's back.
It's finally here.
I mean, I tell you guys all the time, hey,
he's
after
come
season.
Come out of hibernation.
Yeah, after season, I'll see y'all again in the spring sometime, and then I'll see y'all again in the fall. But I'm back. I'm ready. It's Husker football season again. It's time to go watch the Big Red win some football games.
I love it. I love it. All right. This has been the episode number one of the 2025 season for the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza. Valentino's, locally owned and operated since 1957. For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. We'll be back again soon.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's treasured Italian family recipes have been passed down for generations and still locally owned and operated. Valentino's proudly serving Nebraskans in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.